So welcome back to the Business of Sustainability Bite Size podcast. I am utterly delighted to invite Sophie into what we've been calling the broom cupboard, but I think it might be called the hot box today. We are recording during the mini heat wave, or the extended heat wave, as I think it is now. And I think this room is really giving heat wave at the moment. So if we start to wilt at any point, You will definitely see it. But Sophie, would you be kind enough to introduce yourself and what you do at Future Plus?
Yes, I'm Sophie. I'm a sustainability consultant at Future Plus. Been working there for 4.5 years nearly. So started off as an intern and now moved over to the consultancy.
Yeah, moving towards the 5-year anniversary picnic. Right.
That better be a party.
Sophie, you over 4.5 years, you've worked on Future Impact and now you've moved into consultancy and you work with a variety of different clients. So I feel like you're really well set to sort of answer pretty much anything about what we do and how we do it. But an opening question for you is, we often have companies that have really good sustainability intentions, but they sort of struggle to communicate it. Do you see a gap between what businesses do and what they say? And how do we help fill that gap?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a lot of noise around posting about sustainability goals as a company and a lot of pressure from stakeholders to do so. So I think what happens is companies then, under the pressure, they just say, you know, a high level goal like net zero by 2030, for example. But what they're doing there's a gap because they are defining kind of the destination, but they've probably not considered then also kind of current position and also mapping out the resources and initiatives to actually get there. So we kind of see a disconnect between the two. At Future Plus, what we say to our clients is, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be, you know, particularly advanced in your sustainability journey to go out publicly with your sustainability initiatives. I think the key thing is really being honest and, yeah, transparent. So, you know, share the milestones, but also share the challenges that you faced. And ultimately, it's important for everything to be data-backed.
Yeah, that being honest and being able to evidence it is something that's super, super important for businesses, because saying it is, that's where it gets to the like good intent, but troublesome around the messaging. And one of the things that we do, and you have helped hugely over the last few years, is really in terms of impact reports, that sort of that bigger communication maybe that goes out once a year. Is putting like a real framework and a structure around what that looks like for companies. What do you think it is that makes a impact report compelling rather than just ticking a box or trying to throw data out into the world?
So I think starting with what kind of an ESG report can look like is when companies, the ESG, they kind of try and push forward with, it could be like an inward looking statement, or kind of it's just a list of data points, milestones. What it's normally lacking is context. You'll often see a lot of probably generic stock images of wind farms and everything like that.
Which, seedlings in hands.
Yes, I'm not against that. I think I've definitely used those. But really on the other side is an impact report, which is basically a lot more about the human element, kind of the storytelling. So there we want to translate the raw ESG data into kind of real life meaning. So, yeah, giving the context, not just stating, you know, an ESG figure. It's actually, how did we get there? What challenges did we come across on the way, and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think one thing that's been really good about sustainability is people not gatekeeping, and actually putting in the challenges means that other companies get an opportunity to go, oh, I also suffer with that, and I can see that it's a challenge. And, you know, if you've then managed to overcome it, actually that information is hugely useful as well.
Building trust as well with your stakeholders is important.
And a big part of sort of what we encourage businesses to do in advance of going out with that impact report is really understanding what is materially important. And we use the word materiality a lot in sustainability, and it is kind of covers what is important to you and your stakeholders. Mm-hmm. But it can also come across as quite technical, especially when it goes into regulation and we start talking about double materiality assessments. If somebody's not done a materiality assessment before, what do they need? Like, what is it, and what do they need to think about?
Yeah, so if we were speaking to a business leader and trying to explain what a materiality assessment is about, I'd probably say that, you know, the first thing, it's not a lack of information that they're struggling with, it's a lack of focus. So a materiality assessment basically can solve that. It can be kind of a strategic kind of filter. So, you know, it can help companies stop wasting time, money, energy on kind of things that they won't necessarily move the needle in the company. And it can really kind of streamline what the company should focus on. And in terms of what a materiality assessment looks at, it's looking at a sustainability issue and how that affects your financial bottom line. And also on the other side, looking at what your stakeholders' perspectives are on those sustainability issues.
And with stakeholder engagement, it's a really important part of like understanding what is important to them. I think because we often find that there is what is regulation or legislation mm-hmm. for businesses that they have to do. Yeah. And frequently it often sits opposite what is important to stakeholders. But getting that stakeholder engagement can go can be a bit hit or miss. I think we found in the past. Do you have any sort of, how should businesses reach out to people and who should they reach out to?
Yeah, so I think with stakeholder engagement, treating it as a one-way process is where companies go wrong. I think they should be looking at it as kind of like a continuous feedback loop. So, you know, you're not just going out, whether that's, suppliers, employees, whoever you're going out to, you're not just giving them a long questionnaire and that's it. They've spent their time doing a survey and then they don't hear anything. So what we'd always suggest is that, you know, you're following up with your stakeholders after, whether it's 6 months later, once you've launched your strategy, you can reach back out to your employees and say, oh, well, thank you. We can see that this is an issue for you or this is a priority. Here's what we're going to do about it. But also be transparent. So, you know, if it's not actually going to be a priority, maybe it wasn't, maybe it wasn't required by certain other stakeholders, but it's about explaining that to them and why it's not going to be an immediate priority.
Yeah, I suppose the key word there is engagement, right? You have to have that to and fro conversation. Yeah. And otherwise, I think it's a really good point. If you don't go back to people and say why you're not doing things, it can cause a bit of fatigue, I think,
Another survey
and it's not getting anything from it. That was amazing. Sophie, thank you ever so much for joining us today. And if you want to find out more, you can see more about consultancy on www.future-plus.co.uk.